Well, Troy, I can relate to what you're talking about the not being able to see closely as we get older. And for some reason, when I eat food, it seems like I have the swelling problem around the midsection, too. So as we get older, it's not always fun. We have to appreciate the things we have. And God gives us so many things. And for those who don't know what I do, probably most of you do here, but those who might be visiting, I deliver medication supplies to patients, wherever they may be, whether it's in their home or whether it's in the hospitals or even in businesses, wherever they want them to be delivered, that's where I deliver them. And it's unfortunately, it's getting so busy. There's so many people that are sick that it's hard to keep up with it. And so I've had to have a lot of help from other people lately. But in my job, I see some very unfortunate and sad situations. I've had a couple lately that have really touched me, have kind of got my mind thinking and humbled me a little bit. I think that's something that's good about my job. It humbles me a lot and helps me be a better person in touch with reality. Like I said, lately I've had a couple. There's been many over the past, but a couple that really touched me and got me thinking and the first one, after we just got back from our vacation and unfortunately went through the situation with my dad, but you kind of think about some things that just aren't going really well for you. Could be better sometimes, and when I got back, I go to this area where they put my boxes to deliver and medication supplies, and there's a little clipboard back there, and I see what medical pumps, infusion pumps, and supplies to pick up from people who are done using those. Well, I came into work and I went back to that area, and on the message board, there had kind of a stack of them. Coming back from vacation, you find out there's a lot to do to catch up. But anyway, this first paper, the one on the front, it just normally said the patient's name, where they are, or where they live, and what needs to be picked up. In this case, there was a couple pumps and supplies to pick up. This was a patient I'd gotten to know pretty well, pretty young, about lower 30s. She has one daughter who's, I think she's about 6 to 7 years old. But anyway, I got to know them pretty well. I've delivered to her many times and went to her house and one day and she was all made up in a costume along with her daughter. They were going out trick-or-treating. And so it was really cute, and so I talked a little bit with her daughter and her, and they told me what they were planning on doing, where they're going, and so on. And so you get to know people really, really well. And but anyway, as I look at this paper, it says, please pick up supplies because this patient passed away. So this was really sad to me because here's a young woman who, in the prime of her life, I guess she'd been fighting this disease for over 30 years, was unable to get, in this case, a lung transplant. And she passed away because of that. So it was a very sad situation because I knew this person. I knew she had a daughter that was about 6 or 7. Got to know him a little bit. And this is kind of the hard part of my job, not looking for any sympathy whatsoever because I think it helps me in a lot of ways. But it was very hard to come back to that immediately and have to go do that. So when I went to the house, the mother was there. She wanted to get it out of there as soon as possible so the daughter wouldn't have this around to remind her. And as I was talking to the mother, and my heart was kind of sinking and feeling bad for her, and she told me the story about what happened, and I just thought, I hope she's a Christian and has the hope that we have as being Christians and going to heaven. And this poor little girl, I thought of her. Well, she's not going to get to see her mother again, but hopefully she'll be able to see her in heaven someday. The other one was there was a young girl I was delivering to at Blank Hospital. I walked into the door, and as in so many cases, there's a young girl in this case. She was 6 to 8 years old. Of course, she'd been through chemo, so she had no hair. And as I looked down to her, she looked up at me with her very, very sad eyes. She was holding a little plastic container. And of course, this was a container to throw up in that she had just actually got sick. And as I looked down at her, her eyes just melted me because she, the eyes that she looked up at me with were those with no hope. Very hopeless look was on her face. And it just, again, I melted, feeling really bad for her. I also thought, again, what hope does this poor little girl have? Well, if she'd go to heaven right now, or real soon, if she would die real soon, she would go to heaven. And being before the age of accountability, that's what would happen for her. So she has a lot of hope, and she really doesn't need it if that happens, and chances are she probably won't make it, but which so many don't because of cancer. But these two situations kind of made me think about my talk for this morning, and didn't really mean to get you in a sad state, but I think a lot of times if it humbles us and makes us get down to true humility, which I believe this does for me, sometimes it can get you thinking about God as we should. In our world that's so full of despair and problems, it's great to know that we still have hope. When I was thinking of these people and all the people I delivered to, I still hope that they have the hope in Christ. We have many things that bring us down in this world today. Many things that all we have to do is turn on the news and can very, very easily depress us. But then I remember that God has a plan for us. He has a plan for believers, those who stick with Him, those who do what He wants them to do to the end. He has a plan of giving us a reward in heaven. We have hope in Christ. We have true hope. Because we can't center our hope on anything here on earth. We can't center our hope on man here on earth, because we will be disappointed if we do. When hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when hope returns to us, it is the tree of life to us. You know, we say of a person, of that person or the other person, that they have lost heart. What that really means is that person has lost hope. When hope gets sick and dies, then man becomes sick at heart. And life becomes empty because the dreams of that person have expired and their purposes for living have stopped pulsating. So when our hope is gone, all is gone. Nothing is left. But where hope is, there is power of life. If you haven't figured it out, my talk's about hope. I'm sure you have by now. Hope is the medicine that prevents heart sickness and the tree that produces life, as we just talked about. There's no medicine, there's no tonic, there's nothing that mankind can devise that will make tomorrow better for us, better for us spiritually. There's no tree that's as fruitful as good things desired and expected. If we think about the good things, we think about hope, then we have the answer. Hope is also an anchor to us. We have an anchor in Hebrews 6 and 19. It talks about, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I'd like to read a little story here that's found in Acts 27, verses 18 through 25, which talks about a situation where there wasn't much hope. And here Paul is sailing for Rome, and there's a bad storm that happens. Starting with verse 13, it says in this, I'm going to read from the New Living because I think it puts it in our words today. But it says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed along close to the shore. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, a northeaster, they called it, caught the ship and blew it out to sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed behind the small island named Clauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat that was being towed behind us. Then we banded the ship with ropes to strengthen the hull. The sailors were afraid, and being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor and were thus driven before the wind. The next day, as gale-force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. The terrible storm raged unabated for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Fair Havens. You would have avoided all the injury, this injury and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will be destroyed. For last night, the angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" So here you have the story of a very high lack of hope. This storm looked like all was lost. There wasn't any light for days and days. This typhoon of gale force winds was blowing and beating on the ship constantly. People were scared for their lives. But God had promised them through Paul that they would be saved. They would be rescued. Of course, that the ship would be destroyed. And so they had no hope, and then Paul gave them hope by telling them what the angel of God had told him. So this is an example of being without hope and then having your hope renewed. Hope is the moving force behind man's activities. Sophocles said, "It is hope which maintains most of mankind." Our world is one of hope. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 10 it says, "He that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope, or a partaker in the fruit of his labor." The hope of a crop prompts the farmer to drive the plow. Hope of a victory urges a soldier to fight. Hope of oil causes the wildcatter to drill. Hope of winning makes the athlete run. And the hope of an incorruptible crown inspires the child of God to run in the race of life. Find this in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. Hope is a dynamic, triumphant power. It, the "I know and am persuaded" attitude that Paul had, and we just had this in our class, which is kind of interesting. This sustained the Apostle Paul to go through his distresses and his trials and his many bad things that he had to go through for God. And we, in our class today, we saw how that he talked about having the hope and having the patience that he needed to get through these things through God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." He knew that with God's help, he was bigger than these things that were in his way, these things that were trying him, these things that were bringing him down. To the person of hope, difficulties are only opportunities. Hope never says fail. In life's earnest battle, they only prevail who daily march onward and never say fail. Also, hope is a gladdening power. In Proverbs 10 and 28, it says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." Some things go together like hope and gladness. It is through hope that man expects a blessing out of every calamity. Hope sees a star and the world brightens up. The sun sets, but not his hope. The next one is, hope is a pillow of assurance for our weary heads. The Bible speaks about the full assurance of hope in Hebrews 6 and 11. And after we've had a very trying and difficult day, which I know we all have here on earth, isn't it great and assuring that we do have, being Christians, the opportunity as we lay down our heads and we pray to God, we know that we have the full assurance of hope through Christ. We can lay our heads down on our pillows at night and not worry about that. after we've made ourselves right with God, we have the full assurance of hope. Hope that if we should die in our sleep, that our souls will go to a better place, that they will go to heaven. This is very comforting to know. And that is the full assurance of hope that we have. How is hope obtained? Ecclesiastes 9 and 4 says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. As long as there is life, there is hope." Also, there is hope in God. Psalms 39 and 7 says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." It gives the world a new look. It gives a person courage to do our best and leave to God the rest. Hope is also obtained through the Scriptures. If we read the Scriptures, we can see there's a lot to hope for. In Romans 15 and 4, it says, "That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. But we have to read them to know and believe them to hope. The Bible gives us plenty of hope. We just have to read it and we have to try to do what it says. Also, it gives hope to realize that your difficulties, it gives us hope to realize that your difficulties are only something that's common to man. Other people have them too, not just you. You're not the only one going through these difficulties. As we talked about in class, life isn't fair. You're going to go through a lot of things in life that isn't fair, that aren't fair to you. And the Bible talks about there's going to be things that you go through. We know as the example of Paul, he went through many things. So remember, these things don't just happen to you. Don't just think the worst of everything that's going wrong when things don't go your way. Pray to God and ask him to help you. And that will give you hope and will help you through your situation. Also, experience has given us hope, experience of life. In Romans 5, 3 and 4, it says, "Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Trial and life or proving have been a great teacher, which has taught us that most troubles never occur. If we are stand on God and stand for Christ, most troubles really never are that bad. And the ones that do, they can be handled through Christ. Our greatest cause for hope is the assurance of eternal life. That's what we're here for. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, "And without it, we are of all men most miserable." Those in the world who haven't accepted God in Christ are of all men most miserable because they don't have Christ in their life. And if we are a Christian and we turn away from God, we are of all men most miserable. So if in this life you lose and you lose and you lose, remember you can enter another life in which you're sure to win and win and win and never lose. Closing, I'd like to read this poem here, since I can find it here. And it's entitled, "But We See Jesus at the End." I don't look back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees all the future. The road, that short or long, will lead me home. And he will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest. My fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness. and perfect peace, and every hope fulfilled. So we can see Jesus at the end. We can have Jesus in our lives today if we but accept Him, obey His rules that God has given through us through Him. If we accept Him and take the steps necessary, as we're going to give you the opportunity at this time if you haven't, to become a child of His, to put on Christ, to believe, repent, and accept His word and be baptized and have your sins washed away. Or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.